In the name of the God who created us, the Christ that redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A few announcements in the life of the church. First, if you are visiting with us, we would be delighted to tell you more about the place we call home here at Westover Hills. So if you will, please take one of the friendship cards you'll find in your pew, or you can also scan the QR code you find in your bulletin for a digital visitor card, and share with us how we might get in touch to tell you more about life here at Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. Thank you to everyone who came yesterday to hang the greens and get the sanctuary ready for the season. It takes a lot of hands to make that work, so thank you to everyone who came and helped with that. As many of you are aware, our sexton, Ulysses Nayland, lost his uncle about a week ago. This was an uncle who was more like a father to him. The service was yesterday. It was a beautiful homegoing service for him, and Ulysses called last night to say, please, 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 tomorrow send my thanks to everyone for cards and kindnesses and calls. So thank you to everyone who's reached out to Ulysses in support in his time of sadness. In the bulletin, you'll find announcements about things happening in the life of the church, and I have one correction for you in there. There is a date error on the Mariners White Elephant Party that is on Friday, but Friday is actually the 6th of December, not the 7th of December. So it is actually Friday, December 6th for that Mariners party. Nancy has an announcement for us.
Walking through Walmart or Target way back in October, I would shudder at the sight of Christmas trees already decorated and all of that out and music being played. But you know what? Today is December 1st, so I'm not premature in saying to you, Merry Christmas, because I have a Christmas announcement. We will all agree that Westover Hills Presbyterian Church is a busy community of faith, dedicated to doing God's work in the world any time of year. We will also agree that this current time is a very busy time of new growth and transition for Westover Hills. And sometimes events get missed during those busy times. And that almost happened with our annual event called the Alternative Christmas Market. I will take full responsibility for that. I wasn't on my toes about it. But I will also take full responsibility for believing in the importance of this one particular mission. It keeps in front of you all the opportunity to purchase gifts for family, friends, even yourself that give twice. So, with Pastor Rob's support and with respect for our Westover Hills artists who always participate, we will have a modified mini market next Sunday, December 8th, out in the parlor area, featuring five of those gifts that give twice. Charlie Frith's calendars featuring Westover Hills photos that support Vera Lloyd Pettis House. Alicia Gwynn's jars of hot pepper jelly and that will support El Zocalo this year. Kay McCollum and Charlotte Fritz cards and coasters supporting Stew Pot. Carolyn Nash offering what is close to her heart, equal exchange coffee, candy, and pecans. And hopefully, but now I know it's been confirmed, yay, Jan Greenland's Beautiful Stars will be there too, with proceeds from that artist's work going to continue the mission projects of Presbyterian Women. The Alternative Christmas Market has been part of the mission life of this church since its inception in 2006. Its focus on gifts that give twice is a good feeling. So stop by the mini market next Sunday for a gift for a friend, a family member, or like I said, even for yourself. Supporting our Westover Hills artists and the missions that they support. Okay? More information will be in the care line this week. And if I may say so, Merry Christmas and thank you ahead of time.
Thanks, Nancy. One final announcement, which is if you received last week your packet with all of our Advent materials, including the Advent devotion book. If you did not pick yours up, there are more out there. They're all labeled for each household. If you don't see one for your household, there are extra copies out there as well. If you picked up a large print last week, I learned that a handful of them did not print correctly. So if yours printed but with smaller pages inside, there are corrected large print versions outside as well. So if you need one of those, please feel free to grab one out in the narthex following worship this morning. Friends, this is the season of expectation and hope. Let us be filled with joy. Let us be filled with promise. And let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
In a weary and worn world, how do we begin?
Where do we start?
Let us begin with the good news. Let us begin by trusting that we are a blessing, loved by a gracious God. Let us begin with music and singing. Let us begin with warmth and welcome. Let us begin with hope. Yes, let us begin with hope. Today, we light the candle of hope to shine a light in a worn and weary world. May this be our foundation. May this be our fresh start. May this be our new beginning. May hope flow forth from here. Amen.
Herald is gone in. Please remain standing and join me for the call of worship. God says,
do not be afraid.
God says,
I have called you by name.
God says,
I will be with you.
God says,
you are precious and honored in my sight.
At the beginning of this Advent season,
at the start of this week,
at the beginning of this hour,
may we wrap ourselves in these words. May we begin again.
Let us worship our holy God. You may be seated. Family of faith, I don't know the last time somebody told you that you are good just as you are. I don't know the last time you heard that you are loved and created in the image of God. I don't know the last time you trusted those words and truly believed that you are a blessing. However, in case it has been a while, hear these words from Isaiah. God says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Thanks be to God. May we believe it. And may that promise be our invitation to come before God with hope. So let us pray together our prayer of confession. Affirming God, your first words in creation were words of love. You looked at this earth and said, it is good. You spoke affirmations through the prophets. You spoke blessings over Mary. You spoke belonging through Christ. At every turn, you have reiterated, we are a blessing, made in your image, held in your love. Forgive us for forgetting this truth. Forgive us for missing our birth, by society's measure. Sick instead of yours, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the good news of Jesus Christ is this, that we are created by God by love and in love. That at the day of creation, God breathed life into humanity. And that breath was the Spirit of God. So don't think a little of that goodness, that holiness, did not make it inside of all of us. Friends, believe the good news. We are good enough. We are loved just as we are. We are God's beloved children. And in Jesus Christ, for all we have done, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share your Christ's peace with your neighbors. Readings this morning come to us from the prophet Isaiah and from the Gospel according to Luke. Listen now to the word of the Lord, friends. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't weep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched. The flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my eyes. You are honored and I love you. I give people in your place and nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear, I am with you. From the east I'll bring your children. From the west I'll gather you. I'll say to the north, give them back. And to the south, do not detain them. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. And from Luke's gospel. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Mary, God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "Well, how is this going to happen? Because I have not had sexual relations with a man." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will descend upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts be redeeming to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak through this unworthy servant, then speak. And this and at all times, speak to us as only you can in the silence of our hearts. Amen. I'm going to step down here because these tables are a little more forward than usual and I'm going to break my neck. My mother can testify I'm not the most coordinated person in the whole world. Do not be afraid, Isaiah says, quoting God, "for I will call you by name." Then Luke recounts for us the angel, an angel of the Lord appearing to Mary and saying to her, "Mary." Imagine how frightening that had to be. Not "hearken, people," not "ye Ninevites," or something like that, but "Mary." The angel calls her by name. There's something powerful in being called by our names, isn't there? Dale Carnegie said the most powerful sound in any language to any person is the sound of their own name. When I was growing up, my grandmother, Dorothy, who was the sweetest human being who ever walked the face of the earth and the most patient, did occasionally lose her patience with her grandchildren and her husband and her son. And when she did, she would sometimes get so flustered that she would forget who she was angry with. So she would just list all of us. You would hear from the kitchen, "Robert, Alan, John." That way she has covered all of her bases. That must be what it was like for Mary hearing the voice of the angel calling her name. For the people of Israel to hear God quoted by the prophet saying, "God will call you by name." I don't know about you, but I don't go through life feeling that special, that God's going to call me by name. Now, there are days I feel pretty special, I'll confess. We all do, don't we? But the reality is, we're kind of taught to be a little more humble than that, right? You're not that special. How many of us have heard that in our lives? The truth of the matter is, though, 7 billion people on the earth. And the text tells us that God's got all the names straight. Now, that's not the point of it. It's not the point of the stories either. The point of the stories is that ours is a God who does not love us and know us generically, but knows us one-on-one. Person to person, if you will. The God who knows us for who we really are in the world. See, the truth is that when each one of us was created, now, scientists, don't get upset with me. I know how science works. But this is the theological part of it. When each one of us was created, for whatever reason, in that moment, God decided that who you are, who I am, is what was missing from the world in that moment. So God made us. Not because God needed one more person, because God needed you. And you. And you. And all of us. That's the story of God's relationship with creation. From the in the beginning of Revelation to the of Genesis to the amen of Revelation, that's the story of God's relationship with us. Not a God who knows us from a distance and loves us from a distance, but a God who knows us up close. And even though God knows us up close, God still loves us. I don't know about you, but that surprises me some days. There's more than one morning I've looked in the mirror and thought to myself, not the most lovable thing looking back. Not the most holy, not the most faithful, not the most lovable visage that could be staring back at me from the mirror. But every time, God looks at us and calls us by name, God does it with love. Now, there are times when God expresses that love in a little bit of disappointment. That's why we still have our prayer of confession every week. We're not perfect, but we are loved. Now, you probably notice I've said that about 15 times now. You're probably wondering, does he have a point to saying this over and over and over and over again? And I do. A couple of them, actually. The first one is this. Psychologists say that we are in an era, in the Western world at least, where there is an epidemic of isolation and loneliness. That's the word that's been used. An epidemic of isolation and loneliness. As connected as we all are, how many of y'all have your phone in your pocket or your purse? Show of hands, come on. Uh-huh. Yeah, the rest of you, just go ahead and get your hands up. Mine's right here. As connected as we are to one another, we feel more distant from one another. We feel like our connections are thin, that they're superficial sometimes. I've got 2,000 friends on Facebook. You really don't. You've got 2,000 people who say, I don't care what you had for breakfast. We have these relationships now that just don't amount to a lot because the world has told us those are the ones that matter. Well, this morning, as we begin this Advent season, as we begin to prepare ourselves for the birth of God into the world, it's worth reminding ourselves that the kind of relationship that God has with us, wants with us, and will relentlessly pursue with us to the ends of the earth is a relationship that surpasses Facebook and Instagram and text messages, and everything else. It's a relationship that reminds us that we are special enough for God to remember our name and use it when God is addressing us. We could all use a little reminding of that from time to time, can't we? A reminder that despite what the world says, we are good. and we are lovable, just the way we are. Let's face it, we're surrounded by a culture that has this pathological need to make sure we all know that we are deficient, right? I mean, you can't turn on the television or open a magazine or go to a website and read the news without there being ads there telling you that you need this cream to fix your wrinkles, this pill to fix your sex life, this whatever it is to fix your whatever it is, that you're not thin enough, young enough, pretty enough, smooth enough, anything else enough to be any good. See, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ counters all of that. Because see, if God can love us, sins and all, God can love us wrinkles and all too. God can love us despite our growing bald spots. God can love us despite our occasionally expanding waistlines. God can love us for all the things we find it so hard to love in ourselves. That is what happens when the angel comes to Mary. God seeks out the person the world least expects to do the most wondrous thing that God can do in the world, which is join it. It's through Mary, this young, frightened, faithful woman, that God comes into the world. Now, the argument has been made throughout the life of the church that this is not actually a matter of God choosing Mary somehow, because Mary was a woman and she had to be the one to have the baby because women have babies, and that's an argument that's made all the time. No, God chose Mary because the culture she lived in hadn't. God chose Mary because the culture she lived in said women aren't good enough. God went to the margins. God went to the places where society said no in order to say yes. And that's where you and I come in, friends. You see, we're not called to be the prophet in these stories. And we're not called to be the angel in these stories. We are called to be Mary. You and I are called to be a pack full of Marys in this world. Because Mary was a God-bearer. She literally bore God into the world. In her case, it was the child. In our case, it is the Spirit that has been entrusted to us through the church. And what did that child do in the world after he was born? He went to the very places God went to find Mary, to teach God's love. If the Bible was being written today, Mary, who knows who she'd be? Maybe she'd be a young trans woman. Maybe she'd be a young non-binary person. She certainly wouldn't be middle-class, white, and Presbyterian. God reaches out to those places where the world won't go to show the depth and the breadth and the wonder of God's love. And friends, you and I are called to do the same thing. To bear the message of God's love out into the world. And that means not loving the world generically at arm's length, but loving the world the way God does. Loving the world by name. To go out from this place and meet our neighbors. To go out from this place and know their stories. To know their name. To share God's love the way God shares it with us. up close, personal, and vulnerable. But to do that, we first have to believe that we're good enough to do it. Well, friends, let me break the mystery for you right now. We are. Not because we're more holy, but because God has chosen us to do it. Who are we to question God? God has called us to be God-bearers, to take the love and the wonder of God and take it out and love the world just the way God does. If you thought you were busy at Advent already, now we really got something to do. Friends, you are special. You are enough. And you are God bearers in a broken and hurting world. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Remain standing and please join me as we do our affirmation of faith. We believe the blessing of God calls us beloved. We believe that this blessing showed up in the life of Mary and was also bestowed upon the hemorrhaging woman. The poor in spirit, the children, the crowds, the Jews, the Gentiles, the faithful, and the doubting. So, in faith, we trust God's blessing that ripples on this water, forever reaches toward us. And without hope, we believe that because of this blessing, we are converted in love. We are more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today we have some very special guests from Women and Children First, Miss Lakita and Miss Lakeith and Legend. I'm going to let them tell you their official titles. I can only say they are blessings. And I wanted them to meet this congregation who is so generous and wonderful and know who is behind the gifts they receive.
Good morning. My name is Lakeith Hicks, and I am the Assistant Director with Women and Children First. I've been with the agency since 2012, and I just want to have the opportunity to say thank you in person for the support that you've shown our victims that we serve. Ms. Nash has been instrumental and very hands-on in making sure that she comes back and tell you all what we need at the shelter. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the agency, we are a domestic violence shelter, and we provide a safe space for victims of violence, whether that's domestic violence, sexual violence, or human trafficking. And they can stay with us 45 days or even longer. It just kind of depends on what their situation is. We assist men, women, and children. Everything that you do in your home, the same things our victims do in shelter. Some of them go to work. Some of them are in school. Some of them are on disability. And some of the victims even come from different states. So not all the victims that we serve are victims from here in Arkansas. Some of them come from a different state. We provide child care. We have a sexual assault team. Lakeita is going to talk about the housing program, and then our shelter advocates. They're the ones that work side-by-side with the victims on their case plan. Our 24-hour crisis hotline is available for anyone to call, whether it's just questions, whether you just want a safety plan, whether you're calling on behalf of someone. Just know that our services are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'll let Lakeita share a little bit more, because this is where your gifts are really supporting the families.
Good morning. My name is Lakeita Kalklu. I've been with Women and Children First since 2017, so roughly over 7 years. I am the Transitional Housing Coordinator. Part of my job is to see each guest that comes into the shelter and talk about what their transition plans are and their needs. I'm more out in the community, trying to build relationships and partnerships with agencies, other shelters, and communities. My goal is to see each guest when they do come in to see what their transition plan is. Maybe wanting to go to another shelter because they need more long-term stability. Maybe they are ready to move into their place and they need some assistance. That's where you guys have came in with your generous donations. I've talked to Ms. Nash several times about how the guests, after they transition out, they will send me an email. They love the baskets, y'all. They love them. The best part, and you gotta laugh, is the mints for the stove. Sometimes you have to understand these victims, when they flee those situations, they have nothing. When they move into their apartments, they have nothing. Those baskets, when I'm talking to them during their housing assessments, because they're kind of, my office isn't really an office, it's kind of like where everything is being donated. Their eyes are locked on those baskets, those brooms, those mops, those trash bags, the light bulbs, the cleaning products. We greatly appreciate your donations, your kind words. The cards mean so much to them. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to more. And thank you for having us here today. Thank you.
Friends, Women and Children First is one of many things that are supported through our generous giving. Let's bring to God our tithes and our offerings. You'll find the offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church.
Bunch, we humans, eager for what comes next.
Maybe that's why this table is such a gift. For when we come to the table for just a moment, the waiting stops. When we come to the table for just a moment, we get a glimpse of God's promised day. We get a glimpse of a world where all are fed and all are welcome. And just for a moment, we can believe the angels when they say, "Do not be afraid." For just a moment, Mary's words tumble through our minds. Words of justice and hope. Words like the hungry have been filled and the humble have been lifted. So come, friends, to this table. Come catch a glimpse of what could be. Come end your waiting, for love is hovering close. This is what it's all about. God is all around us. So come. This good news is for you. All are welcome here. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God's blessings. Once again, we find ourselves standing at the beginning of the month, at the beginning of this Advent season, at the beginning of this new day, bringing our hearts to you. Meet us here, gracious God. Hear our prayers and offer your words of blessing. To start, we bring you prayers of deep gratitude. We thank you for the people who, like the angel Gabriel, help us see you in our midst. Thank you for faith mentors, for friends that greet us with hugs and smiles at church, for the saints who have gone before us, for Sunday school teachers and youth advisors and ushers and choir members and everyone else who makes the church sing your praise. Thank you for these saints and the ways they always point us toward you. Pour out your blessings upon them. We offer you thanks to people who, like Mary, have shown us what it looks like to trust our belovedness. Thank you for the folks in our lives who have acted with fierce bravery, trusting their call and your words of blessing. Their faith and conviction inspires our own. In addition to our prayers of gratitude, O God, we also offer our prayers for guidance. Even though we count this day as a new beginning, the words and messages of the past cling to us, drawing us under like quicksand. Blessing God, today we lift up those of us who have never been told that we are worthy. For those who have been told that they are not enough by this demanding society. We pray for those of us who have ever been discouraged from chasing a dream or have been made to feel small. We pray for those who know the weight of insecurity and dance with self-doubt. We pray for all who hear your words of blessing and love and care and feel they must respond, saying, "How can this be?" Let this day be a new beginning, God. Erase our memories of self-doubt. Erase the "how can this be" questions from our minds. Erase our insecurities and our fears, and in their place fill our hearts with trust. Fill our spirits with conviction. Fill our minds with the knowledge that, like Mary, we are made in your image, and like Mary, we are good. God's blessings. Hear our prayers. Said aloud and said in the silence of our hearts. And as you speak your blessing upon us, hear us as we lift our voices together to pray the words you were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
gave it to them and said, take and eat and do this, remembering me. In the same way, he took a cup. And pouring it, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for all of you. Drink it and remember me. So friends, we come to this table and we eat and we drink and we remember. We remember that God is indeed good. And we remember that all are indeed fallen. So come, taste, see, and know that the Lord is good. Elders, please come to our back.
earned us from it. Nourishing God, sometimes we tell ourselves that
too much has taken place for us to begin again. We think the world is too far gone. We think we have made too many mistakes. We tell ourselves that we couldn't possibly begin again. But then we come to this table and we get a glimpse of your kingdom. To come to this table and all are welcomed, all are seen, all are fed, and just like that, there's room for hope. Just like that, we are reminded we can begin again. So thank you for the gift of this fresh start. Thank you for planting hope deep in our marrow. Thank you for meeting us in ordinary bread and juice to remind us that it's never too late to build your kingdom here. We are grateful. We are so, so grateful. Amen. Friends, go into this day and be God-bearers, taking with you the love of God for all the world. May the grace of our Lord